Hey guys, this is Drew. Before the episode gets started, I want to remind you that we are finalists for Willamette Week's Best Podcast in Portland, and we could use your vote. From now through the end of May, go to willametteweek.com. We are under the Media Personalities tab for Best of Portland. Cast your vote for Hot Garbage. It means a ton to us, and we thank you for listening and for voting for us. Enjoy the show.
Oh, that was solid.
You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the sectional to my Shea Lounge, my dear friend Andy.
Emperor Selassie.
I
can't believe you went back to a playlist.
I dabbled with the music discovery podcast, but it didn't feel right.
Didn't feel right in your mouth.
This is your weekly music playlist. I'm sorry, everybody. It's not a music discovery, though you may learn something if you tune in.
We all discover something a little more each day.
We do appreciate you downloading this episode of Hot Garbage through iTunes, typically through Stitcher, through Buzzsprout, and you can also write into the show. We'd love to hear from you. HotGarbagePodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE Garbage Podcast. Our silent partner Nate is with us, as he always is, making the sound happen. Andy, our guests this week, Ralph Edward Perez of the blog Damn That Noise,
also known as Blood Money.
Blood Money, rapper, writer, tastemaker, I would say. And he's joined by his friend Bill, also a rapper. It was a great episode this week.
We Billy what?
A ton.
Yeah.
He does say his last name during the episode, so it's in there for people that are digging. But those guys, really great guys, had a lot of insights on hip-hop. We talked a lot of hip-hop. We talked about favorite guest verses. We talked about their rapping careers, how they got started, and talked a little bit about your own tastes when you were young, Andy.
A little man.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to drop you into our conversation with Ralph and Bill, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode of Hot Garbage. There's so many opportunities for like subgenres and like people that have this, their one kind, their one strain. Mm-hmm. And the same with all these kind of genres. And you guys are like curators of music, Ralph. You've got Damn That Noise, your blog, doing a good service for us, kind of curating hip hop. What do you think of when you, like, how do you decide what you're going to feature on your blog? What's your kind of your curating style when it comes to what you're going to review? And
My curating style is really just comes down to what I love. Like, if it's dope, like if I like it and I like it enough to want to really think about sharing it with someone, then it gets the green light. I mean, Mayhem Loren is like some East Coast rah-rah shit. And I just posted his video for Bad Monting, and it's a dope song, you know, and like the, Mass Rhythm Terror, Cloudy's dude.
Yeah. Yeah,
Cloudy sent me his stuff. And Mama is a Trap Lord. You listen to it and you think like, oh, it's just some atypical trappy shit because the beats are real trappy and kind of the style he has, but it's like pseudo political, social, like kind of dead prezzy, you know, almost, but to some trap beats. And I like that a lot. And I put it up. I had nothing to do with, you know, oh, this is Cloudy October's friend. So I feel like I need to really share this because it's a favor to Cloudy. It just was really good. That's
the guiding principle.
The guiding principle is like, if this is dope, like if this is worth me listening to a couple of times, like, will I play this more than one time? Then I'm going to share it. And there's some stuff, people will send me projects that like, I don't really like the entire project at all, but like one song I might like a lot and be like, this song is really dope. And so I'll just share the song as opposed to the entire album. And then I'll let, you know, you decide. I'm not, my idea in curating and sharing is really just about like, I enjoy this. Go check it out. You might. And if I don't like what you've sent me, I'm not going to waste my time in shitting on your art because it's your art and you created it. And it's not my place to shit on it.
But just not your place to share it.
Right. Yeah. I just won't share it. I'm not going to waste
shit or share.
Right. Those are the kind of blogs I want to read and get music from anyways. I don't care about somebody like ripping on somebody's new project. I want to hear about something good. You know, I'm out there looking for good music.
Right.
Not like snarky comments.
Right. Oh, I think it definitely, obviously the snark can draw attention. People tend to be drawn to like, oh, I want to hear a bad review. I want to see what this person said about this album, because then I want to be pissed if they didn't like it, you know?
I think it's also easy to shit on something. I feel like there's a, you know, it's like a shortcut to being a writer or critic is to just crap all over something. But when you have to describe something that you really respond to, that can be a personal thing, and it takes right. a little bit more effort to convey the kind of energy that you get from a piece of music. So I think it's a harder bar that you set for yourself. So I think that's admirable too.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I'll avoid talking about songs I don't like on an album that I'm reviewing. Like if something's like, you know, 7 or 8, like I won't review anything if it's under a 6, because at that point it's like, I didn't like enough of right. this. You know what I mean? But if it's like a 6 or 7 or above, then I'll review it. I just won't talk about the songs I didn't like, because why?
Yeah.
Why am I going to be like, oh, I hated these 3 songs out of the 15? That's really not, it's just subjective. You know what I mean? It's all subjective, really. But I'd rather tell you why I thought this was dope and maybe give you a chance to like it if you've liked anything else I reviewed. You know what I mean?
Right. How did you get started with the project?
It was an accident. I grew up rapping and making beats, but I also really just grew up as like a music nerd in general, mm-hmm. like the kind of person who would read through the liner notes and not just like the lyrics, like who engineered this and who mixed this album and who was the A&R on this. And I've always really been into just those kind of frivolous details to albums. And so as I was living out here in Portland, kind of taking a break from doing music, not sure if I wanted to continue to do music, someone pointed me in the direction of a website called Shut Your Fucking Face and Listen.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, could try and see if you can write for that. And I was like, okay, I'll try. And so a friend of mine who wrote for it was like, review this album. He gave me, I think, Sadistic's Ultraviolet album. Was like, write a review for that. Tell me what you think. Kind of make it funny. You know, make it snarky. And I was like, I've never done this before. Like, I dropped out of high school, so I'll give it my best shot in writing, you know, 4 paragraphs of a review. And they liked it. And so I wrote for that website for about a year, doing reviews and interviews and stuff. And then they decided, all I covered was hip hop. And that website is a great website, but a lot of it is like indie rock and, mm-hmm. you know, indie folk and kind of stuff along those lines and some hip hop. And I was reviewing stuff that I really liked that was hip hop. And I just think that they got tired of it. And so they were like, yeah, we're going to downsize writers to the few original ones. And I was like, cool. I really liked writing about music though. What am I going to do? And so I was like, fuck it. I'll start my own thing, I guess. And just came up with the name, started the Tumblr, checked to see if anybody owned the .com. They didn't. Just bought the domain name and was like, I guess I'm doing a blog now. Yeah. And so it's been, I think, end of July, it'll be a year that I've been running the website. Yeah.
And you're super consistent too, which is something that we try to be on this show, just like putting out material and something we can stand behind. And it seems like you take that philosophy to heart too.
Yeah.
You're talking about interviewing. I'm curious, since we interview artists, what's your, when you were interviewing rappers, what was your favorite question to ask them? Did you have a go-to?
My favorite question, I think a lot of the rappers I tend to interview are also producers. And so a favorite question of mine is, cause you know, I'm 38. I grew up like making beats where you like dug, you know, through the shitty dollar bins, you know, trying to find samples. And it was strictly you sampled off a record, you know, or cassette, or sometimes if you were innovative, you sampled off, you know, the VCR because there was a cool movie sample. And nowadays you don't really have to do that. You have YouTube, you have Spotify, you have all these streaming services where you can literally just Google like 1960s Russian psychedelic rock and you're going to get like something
way more music than you could ever listen
YouTube
to.
YouTube that right. now.
Right. I can't even front. I've done that. Yeah, like, and me pulled too. A sample off of it.
We'll embed those search terms in the, the episode description.
And so like, that's what people do a lot now. And I had read an article with Quelle Chris, who's on like Mellow Music Group, and he samples and he produces, and they were asking him, like, do you strictly stand by, you know, vinyl only? And he's like, no, by any means necessary. And so that's kind of my favorite question. Like, are you strictly a record-only producer, or are you a by any means necessary, and why? You know, and a lot of people, like Isid from Minneapolis, is by any means, like he prefers digging for records, but if you find something cool on
by any means right here,
right, if you find something if you find something cool on YouTube by accident because you're just following some rabbit hole of music, you know what I mean? Why not?
Some kid's finding that record in a bin on the other side of the world at that anyway. Moment. So you might as well snatch up that idea before someone else takes it.
Right. So I love that question. I love just kind of the whys, like how and why. How do you do it and why do you adopt that aesthetic? And
you guys, you know, Bill, you were saying you're kind of a by any means necessary kind of guy.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of like code of ethics in your thought process to that? Is there, because you were talking about the why, Ralph, and is there a why to the reasoning behind your beats? What goes in your mind when you're making these kinds of choices, and why are you any means necessary kind of producer?
Because I think it's all about if you can get that head to move, you know, like if you can get someone really nodding, I think you did it. You accomplished your goal, you know, like at least for me, that's just what I like. You know, when there's a song with a message, all I want to hear the message if my head's moving, you know, if my foot's tapping, you know, like otherwise I'm a brick wall. You know, it's going to be harder to get into my head if you don't have, you know, my approval, my head nodding, you know.
Right.
So yeah, so first and foremost, you know, like, yeah, by any means necessary to me, it just means like, are you getting the listener moving? So like, hey, I don't even care if it's, you know, the song you heard on the radio 70 times last month, you know, like if someone freaked it and flipped it, I'm not going to hate, you know, like flip that Justin Bieber, you know, let me hear that Miley Cyrus if you got it, you know, but make me think about this music in a different way, you know.
R.A. the Rugged Man did a Miley Cyrus.
Oh, flip. There you go. And I'm just like, well, how can you hate on that?
Right, her last album.
You got me to move my head to a Miley Cyrus.
He killed it too. It was like a Flaming Lips original beat
that Miley Cyrus they sang collaborated to. On a couple of
years. Yeah, and he, I guess, somehow R.A. the Rugged Man heard it and was like, I really like this beat. And then he just had whoever loop up the section and spit heat over it.
Yeah.
I was like, what? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we live in this crazy internet world where every bit of music is available except for some shit that's on vinyl that hasn't gotten transferred to digital files yet.
That's so juicy stuff.
The true crate digger can still find shit that some dude with a computer can't.
Yeah. Right.
So well, it's a bottomless well. There's so much stuff out there that's never been used before. And I think that's...
Well, the crazy thing to think about too is like, all right, so you think about that with being now. So think about all the things we have access to right now, but all of the things that are still being made right now.
Yeah.
Like it's how easy is it for anybody in a bedroom to whip up an album? So think about now the future when you have everything that we still don't know, plus everything that's being created right now.
In the moment, right?
You know, all these little bedroom producers that no one's heard of, man, that's the gold mine future sampling hit.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. So hip hop in particular, I think there's the impression that because sounds are so accessible and because it doesn't require a lot of instrumentation to start doing it, there's a really low barrier for entry for people who rap, and they think, oh, I can do this. And so the marketplace now is really flooded with anyone who can put it together. Do you think that's a sort of a dangerous thing? I am someone who likes a little curation. I like some gatekeepers to tell me what's good. That's why I appreciate what you're doing, because I want someone whose tastes I trust to filter out all the shit.
Right.
Do you think this is ultimately going to be good for all of music and hip hop specifically, or is it going to water down kind of the culture a little bit?
I think it's both. I think they can exist together. I think it could be a good thing and a terrible thing. It's a good thing because you get shit like Chance the Rapper. Like Acid Rap is a great record. It was free,
so good,
you know what I mean, and he had put out stuff and I wouldn't have heard of him if I wasn't on like Two Dope Boys one day and was like, who the hell is this Chance the Rapper kid? I'll you know, he's got a song
terrible
Action
name
Bronson.
By the way,
right, I'll check it out, like whatever, and being like, wow, this is dope, you know. But then for every Chance the Rapper you get, like, you know,
his brother.
Yeah, whoever it, you get,
seriously, his brother has a rap record out. It's awful.
So for every, you know, Chance, you get somebody that
you get
10 that's shitty. You know what I mean? For every one really dope dude you discover via Bandcamp, you know what I mean? Or some random mixtape someplace, you get like 10 to 15 horrible, horrible fucking copycats. You know, like I get email, like promo emails now, which is great. Like I'm on a press list somehow. and I'll get stuff from like Keeping It Gold, Trill 1000 Records, you know, check out
Andy, aren't you on that label?
Our hot new, yeah, our hot new artists, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want to, but I will. And then I'm like, I knew I didn't want to listen to this. Terrible.
Well, speaking of listening to things, I know you guys brought some tracks to share. What's some music we should listen to right now?
I brought that new Homeboy Sandman, Talking Bleep.
Yo, I was riding my bike down the bike path going the wrong way. But who's to say what the wrong way is? Unless they're not minding their business. Along comes this chick, like you're going the wrong way, mister. In the break, she thought she was an authority figure. Even though she was a bitch, I still killed her with kindness. Like, thank you, miss. Despite the fact she sounded like this. I love my fans, but sometimes I can't understand when they tell me about their favorite jams. Like, yo, I'm waiting for another jam exactly like this one. Son, I don't make the same jam a record twice. I am way too nice. So please don't ever in your life come to me with suggestions. You'll get dismissed. On top of the fact, you'll sound like this. The other day, I got a call from the people at HuffPo that made me dig their dumb slow. They wanted to know what I thought about some rap beef. Between a dude that's mediocre and a dude that's okay. I was like, oh, you don't say. Didn't I just send you an entire article about the link between mass media and private prisons that I thought was really important, but you was like, no, it isn't. Next instant, you got the gumption to hit me up to try to talk about some gumption. You sound like this. This girl told me that she loved me. Yo, she saw me on the regular. But then I met another fly chick, and she was mad when I went to get with her. I had to tell her, yo, I love it when you visit me, but I don't understand why you wanna limit me. She told me, grow up, stop acting like a kid. I had to tell her, yo, that ain't what love is. You sound like this. People hit me up for verses and never mention a budget. They are the definition of bugging. I understand where you coming from. I know you wanna come up and ain't rich, but why you gotta sound like this? I met a rapper that sucks who is way more famous than I am. Can you believe sucker tried to kick some knowledge to the boy's hand? Telling me that I was a brand, and I should think about rocking with a pan. And it's a good thing I got on Instagram, and a bunch of other meaningless nonsense. Shut up, dick, you sound like this.
So you guys are both reformed rappers or still current rappers?
Yeah.
You're
kind
reformed,
of. It's a, I'm a reformed, born again, backsliding, probably I quit rapping like once a month.
Everybody that's once rapped always still has a project coming out.
Yep. That's know? The truth.
Yeah, because you're never quite done. Yeah, I mean, I haven't been really as active as I've been in the past, but yeah, I'm always making beats, and I'd like to get on a project here with Ralph soon.
Ideally.
Work, talks for that for a minute. You know, work, family, life, you know, it goes.
It intervenes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're trying to find the time to rap.
About, yeah, exactly. It's about, you know, time management.
When did you guys start rapping? What was the first time you picked up a mic? How old were you?
I was pretty young.
Damn, yeah.
Most people that rap seem, I feel like, well, we had Mass Terror on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about, hey, it was, you know, his first memories of him rapping Snoop Dogg stuff. And
yeah.
Oh, see, yeah, mine, I'm much older than he is, so my first memories were like rapping Lottie Dottie in the schoolroom lunch table in New York. I was
like
probably
the slick
like
Rick version, not the,
the slick Rick version. Yeah,
yeah.
And with your wrinkle pussy, like, and being like in like third grade, I think, when that came out, and just like knowing that verbatim and knowing like I'm not supposed to be rapping this out loud, but this is the best thing in the world.
See,
that I know.
I wish I had that like that raw experience, because mine was all like Arrested Development. I remember like Mr. Wendell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee. I mean, those were jams.
But I had that. Actually, my mom gave me that tape. That was one of my first hip hop tapes.
It was like it had a really long title.
Zingalamadoonie.
Oh, that was that one. Oh, there was one like 365 days. And
oh, that might be. Yeah. Zingalamudi might be the second album.
Yeah. I think I had the one you're talking about. Yeah, with the
right.
It was like a long period of time.
Super long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that stuff. I didn't have any like. I wish I had like an older brother that was playing Wu-Tang or something for me, but I had to go through.
I think for me it was just like growing up, like your environment. You know? Yeah. I think that really is like when I hear people answer this question too. A lot of it, yeah, it has to do with like older brother or like cousin or family member or someone, or yeah, it's like your environment. And for me, it was just like having that influence. I grew up in New Jersey, South Jersey, like it's basically the suburbs of Philadelphia. So, like, there's just soul there, you know. There's just a little bit extra, you know. There was the banging on a lunchroom table freestyling, you know. There was the ciphers. There was, you know, but you know, I graduated in 2003, so. You know, there was still like, it was when it was like the beginning of everybody was a rapper.
Right.
You know,
but it still came out of that very organic space.
I can't. Yeah, exactly.
That's like a fundamental part of your
people.
Childhood.
A lot of guys were piggybacking on like the 50 Cent style back then. That I grew up with. So,
what did you come out sounding like? What was your like the first iteration of your rap persona?
I always was kind
of
weird because I was always scrawny and little, but I had confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I shocked a lot of people, and that's kind of like, that's my wild card, you know? It's just like, I like to just shock people.
What'd you call yourself?
My last name's Murnahan, and
was it Murderhan?
Game, dude, the name Murderhan game. How many names? I remember someone, I forget who I was listening to, but someone was talking about this in a rhyme, they're like, that was three names ago, or something like, they're like measuring time and like how many rap names ago they had. But yeah, my first like real one I stuck with was Murn. It was just like, but people just called me in school because my last name's weird. There's like letters in it that are silent. So they're like, I'm not saying that. So they just call me Murn.
It's good because it rhymes with a lot of things.
Yeah, just M-U-R-N.
It's got some shelf life.
I put the dot, dot, dot to imply the rest of my last name. And that was like kind of like my tag. And it was one of my early rap names. For me, it was like middle school. I think I fucked around a little bit in like late elementary school. Like, for me, it was kind of just, you know, writing shit down and like, you know, you say yours first, you know, you and your friend, you know, you say yours first, you know. And
how long was it before you shed that self-consciousness and really were owning it?
So there was two kids that were like a little bit more confident than me. It was like a group of four of us that always formed a cypher. And I'd more just kind of be a hype man, like rocking back and forth in the circle, like swaying. And so was my homie. But the other two guys, they were just like always on it. Always was making everyone laugh. Always had the jokes and the punchlines. They'd riff off of, you know, at that time, they'd riff off of Bone Thugs. They'd riff off of Tupac. They'd riff off of like Bad Boy shit. So it was funny. That's all we were listening to. And so then me and my homie, we would hang out, not in the floor, and we would just freestyle. I'm like, we're gonna fucking just one day just rip these cats, you know? We're gonna get them on the floor rolling, laughing on some punchlines. And we eventually got there to where we like started out rhyming these dudes. And
you outworked
we were just
them.
Grinding. We would just, you know, I wasn't like a big drinker back in the day. But I got on smoking real early. So we would just twist up little pinners, and him and I would just be like, we're gonna practice and we're gonna kill these dudes. These are our best friends, but that was like our East versus West.
Right.
You know? So then like each time we'd get together, like, oh, you guys are getting kind of good, until we were just like wrapping circles around them. And then so freestyle's always been really, really important to me.
I can totally picture you and your homie just being like, oh, you rip that one, dude. I think we're ready. We can take
totally,
it to the
totally,
cypher.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think like Tuesday, we're going to take this to the
exactly.
cypher.
Flagpole. Yeah.
So, served.
Those are my early memories. It was just, you know, but it was shit. It was just like, my name's Big Daddy. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I got a chicken patty. You know, you're just like saying the stupidest shit. You know, but you're rhyming, you know.
I'm always curious because you were talking about planning to basically just outshine your friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like competition is such a huge part of hip-hop, whereas it's not the same in other kinds of music. I mean, there's some competition among rock bands, sure, but it's not the same, like, energy as it is in hip-hop. I wonder why that is. What is it about that genre that is competitive? And what do you guys think it makes I don't know. It's all about that. I mean, you're not alone. You're like almost every rapper we talk to has got that moment where they've, you know, they drop the mic on somebody and I don't know. There's a lot of energy in that. Where do you guys think that comes from?
I think it goes back to like that 70s disco shit, just trying to be like the flyest, coolest looking person in the club. And it transitioned to like broke kids in the Bronx, you know, that couldn't be in the club looking that fly. So it was like, well, what I can do is write some killer shit. So if I can write something that makes me look like the coolest person at this party, then that's what I'm going to do. And so it all came about just trying to, I think that braggadocio, I got to one up you, is just to be like in the moment, the flyest, dopest dude in the room.
Yeah.
If you can walk away that night with just like, you killed it. Like, yeah, everybody else was good, but that dude killed it. And that's all you need is just that one, like that one up for the night. Like, I killed it. I can leave and say at this party, I owned it. You know, I might lose the next three parties or get outshined, but I owned it this one night. And I think that's just what it comes down to is just.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my homies, I remember he was just like, yeah, that's why hip hop and sports are so closely tied. And I got what he was always saying, you know, like he's like, oh, there's always so many sports. Right. And I've actually never been that much into sports. He was like, yeah, you know.
Except
like,
for in your rap references.
Yeah. He's like, and all these, you know, and there's all these tie-ins to hip-hop. And I was like, for me, like, hip-hop, like that's what got him close to hip-hop. For me, like, hip-hop was my sport. I didn't play a lot of sports. So it was, like, extra important to me to, like, outshine someone or write a better verse than the guy I'm on a track with. Which is still what I try to do. Everybody tries to do that, no matter who you're, you know. Who, I mean, I don't know. There's rumors about verses that have been written, but. Who willingly gives their song to the guest? You know, you always try to want to outshine your friend. It's all in good fun, you know. It's not like
it's the sport of it.
Yeah, it's the sport.
What's your favorite guest verse all time?
Well, most recently popped into my head was just the Nicki Minaj verse on Monster, Kanye West track, and how the rumor is that he knew that. You know, like that he gave that to Nicki. He's like, I'm giving Nicki my song because she needs to be someone, you know.
Well,
I don't know if I believe that. But
Kanye's
that's
verse
on
that is a little underrated too. I think he's got a very strong verse
correct on it.
Jay-Z comes
Jay-Z's,
a little weak. I'm not a big fan of Jay-Z.
Godzilla Loch Ness. What are we cool? He just names monsters.
He names a list of monsters. Right. Yeah, that's true.
But also the hook on that song too is just full of swag, and I love that.
I like the little Rick Ross part. You know, like. You could tell like they just had like a bunch of material they cut up.
Yeah, but that Nicki Minaj verse, I haven't really listened to her albums all the way through. But her stuff doesn't sound. Like, she just doesn't. She doesn't bang on her own stuff.
On her stuff, she does a lot more like radio accessible pop stuff.
She sings a lot, right?
Because she can rap her ass off.
Yeah,
but she can also do something that's gonna get 800 plays a day on the radio.
Yeah, I just don't want to see her face when she raps.
I bought her first album because I was like, you know what? She can rap. Maybe this is going to be good. And she had some like good just rapping ass rap songs on there. I mean, she had the Roman's Revenge that was her and Eminem.
Yeah.
She hung with Eminem. I mean, it's recovery post-relapse Eminem, which is still really good Eminem.
Yeah, it's a notch down, but it's still...
But it's still like Eminem, you know what I mean? Yeah. And she... hung right up there, and I was like, she can rap. I mean, it's not the greatest shit ever.
That was her like her plan all along was just get Eminem at his worst.
Right.
See, I think Eminem's verse on Renegades is my favorite guest. Oh,
that's
an
iconic guest
those
verse.
Two verses.
I was
that's
listening to
basically a Bad Meets Evil song.
Right, because it was originally Royce. It's supposed to be originally Royce and Eminem. And Jay called up Eminem and was like, I want to beat. And so he just sent him over his part. Because I listened to a lot of hip-hop podcasts because I'm a dork. And Young Guru, Jay-Z's engineer, was on a podcast recently. And they were talking about that and how it was like M already had like the first two verses on there, I think. Or the first verse recorded on there because it was a plan for Royce to 5'9". And so Jay wrote his first verse after already hearing M's, and then they went back and forth.
Oh shit! Okay.
To write like the last verses or whatever.
That's cool.
So it was.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
If you guys are going back that far, I gotta say, Dre Day. Because it was the first time I heard Snoop Dogg.
That's a great
guest
spot.
Who the fuck is this? Oh my god!
Oh yeah,
it changed hip hop for me. Basically,
what was that voice?
It's like it's so chill. This dude is like barely rapping. He's just like talking, like hanging out. This is the coolest motherfucker in the world right now.
Well, yeah. Busta Rhymes probably owns one of the, you know, most iconic guest appearances too.
I mean, Scenario?
Yeah, Scenario. Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's great.
That was another one I rapped a ton when I was a little kid because that video was on Yo MTV Raps all the time.
Oh yeah. That's a classic song, and Busta just owns that track. You can't.
It's funny about listening to that verse is how many hooks can you pull out of that verse? You could pull so many.
There's like, so many samples. So many like just lines that are yanked out of there. And
yeah,
dropped
they've extracted
in all over the place.
Like anybody that's sampled or Busta Rhymes himself. I think Busta Rhymes himself has pulled at least three hooks out of that verse. I'm not even joking.
He's used the "Pardon Me" as a comeback. I think.
No, it's what I'm saying. Yeah. Follow me. As I come back, and he's there's a couple others I remember. Like, we'd have to play it.
That's just sadly like late in his career, Busta Rhymes struggling for
relevance. Yeah, just like, all right, I've almost gone through this.
He had a good run though. I don't feel sorry for
him. I love seeing him on Master of None, the Aziz show.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was good.
That was funny.
He's gotten like weirdly puffy or something, right?
He
like,
just worked out a lot and then stopped working out quite so much.
And then he gained weight or something.
It kind of turns into like
it all came like water. From the top of his shoulders through his head. Yes. It's all one thick pillar.
I missed the scrawny, you know,
wiry Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, with the dreadlocks. Yeah. You know?
Now he looks like the what was that? The second Hulk movie with Ed Norton when Tim Roth turns into whatever.
Yeah,
that
sort
is.
Of midway between Man and Hulk.
Abomination.
He looks like old Busta Rhymes, just slightly inflated. Right. Yeah. Like a pump or two extra.
Yeah, like someone
air.
Just blew a little bit of air into the Busta Rhymes balloon and it just sat it down.
But I did see a video recently where I think he was on the Breakfast Show with with all those dudes who are like fucking tear everybody apart. Charlamagne and those guys. And they had him rapping his Chris Brown verse, that Look At Me Now song.
The live.
And he did it, man. He did it. I almost cried.
He can rap fast.
It was
as hell,
a beautiful thing. This is puffy. Oh, this is puffy Busta Rhymes.
And I love his kind of like dancehall reggae flavor.
Yeah.
His patois.
Totally authentically. And oh man, that's great. That's the Busta Rhymes I like. Yeah. I actually, back in the day when I thought all that shit was too flashy, I hated it when he signed a Bad Boy. So I was just like, what the fuck, Busta? What are you doing? You're better than Bad Boy. But at the time,
but he's not. He was just right for Bad Boy.
Yeah,
it was. He put out some hot jams during that period.
Yeah, he was co-signing on some Biggie stuff back then.
Past the Cavarsier.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good Busta Rhymes song.
It really is. Andy, speaking of good songs, let's hear something from your catalog.
A song I heard because of Ralph's blog right here. I found this on Damn That Noise. A rapper by the name of Odyssey. Could you tell us a little bit about this guy? You know a lot more about him than I do.
Odyssey is Sudanese, I think, from Washington, D.C. So that's what they call the DMV area. And he started a label called Mellow Music Group. The dude can write like incredibly well thought out, soulful music. Like, he's a really great rapper. And he's an equally outstanding producer. Like, he started off just the chopping soul samples and jazzy stuff, and he's more and more progressed into like including live instrumentation. The Good Fight was his last album from last year. That's like, I would highly encourage anybody that loves just good music to check that album, because it's just a great record. And then Al-Wasta is the free album that he just put out. Mm-hmm. And that's what the song is off of.
It's a song called Lifting Shadows, which is all about just fear of, you know, Arabic people, but basically just brown people in general.
$1 below 10K, that's the amount I'm flying with. One more buck and the Lord comes out and the year one know about why I'm rich. I'm not rich, I'm just on the way back to the land where they need this grip. You give yours to a charity fund, I give mine to because that's sick. You see your name and it falls on the list, scared I'm involved in the cause and the pain. Lost somebody you loved in the towers and looking at me like I boarded the plane. I'm just an artist, you're not a target. No use in arguing, we all look the same. With that knowledge, I stay calm when they search for bombs or they find this grain. All in the name, I got a name that is
scared or the brave of the land of the free. All in the name of protecting a country that's shooting its citizens dead in the streets. I used to live in Northeast D.C., not too far from Capitol Hill. White House here, trap house there. They were so near you could go by feet. Never mind that, cause that's not news. Let's stay glued to the war on peace. Who gets blamed? Whoever can sway the election towards what the order seeks. We just wanna keep oil cheap. We just wanna keep motives full. What that mean? Distractions came. I think my TV's clothed in wool. Man, I swear they my phone tap. Man, I swear they watching all my moves. Since 9/11 ain't too clear just who the target is. I love my country, hate its politics. Can't just let me be, can't just let me live. Regardless my belief, I thought the fire was voted clear. But darkness all I see, and darkness all I hear. I'm trying to live in shadow, but the cloud ain't got no give. Can't just let me be, can't just let me live. Regardless my belief, I thought the fire was voted clear. But darkness all I see, and darkness all I hear. I'm trying to live in shadow, but the cloud ain't got no give. I was on tour when the migrants came. Saw their camps on side of the road. I met a boy who arrived in the rain. He lost his folks when they torched his home. That made me wanna bring my fan before they see that side of a drone. But who wants us? We build your world. Is labor's cool? Neighbors know. I got a cuz that'll drive your taxi. I got a cuz that'll make your food. I got a cuz that'll watch your kids and pick them up when they're done with school. I got a cuz that'll pump your gas. I got a cuz that's good with tools. I got a cuz that'll be your doctor after a test that I hope you'll pass. Isn't that what you fear most? But fear don't trump your needs. Our pros do trump our cons though, and cons don't trump your greed. And monsters which you make of us, and we make you succeed. And that's what makes this country great. It's built by those who bleed. It's built by those who came on boats. It's built by those who flee. And you forgot your family tree, and we're just all your leaves. So if you try to chop us down, you only hurt your knees. And we could go in pieces, but we'd rather come in peace. Man, I swear they my phone tap. Man, I swear they watching all my moves. Since 9/11 ain't too clear just who the target is. I love my country, hate its politics. Can't just let me be, can't just let me live. Regardless my belief, I thought the fire was voted clear. But darkness all I see, and darkness all I hear. I'm trying to live in shadow, but the cloud ain't got no give. Can't just let me be, can't just let me live. Regardless my belief, I thought the fire was voted clear. But darkness all I see, and darkness all I hear. I'm trying to live in shadow, but the cloud ain't got no give.
Try to convince my kids to they're not into it.
They're not into hip-hop music?
Kind of. My son is 17 and he's just starting to really like discover hip-hop. I've always been like, whatever you guys like is what you like.
Yeah,
like I play hip-hop constantly, so there's that's probably part of the reason why they're not really super into hip-hop.
The rebellion against like, you right
yeah
now.
You can't be into what dad's into,
right? Because it's like that's all they grew up listening to. Like my daughter would be like,
they'll come around.
Yeah, what are you listening to? I'm like, oh, MF Doom. Again, Dad? I'm like, yeah, always MF Doom. Like, you gotta,
this is your
you
know, classic rock, honey.
But yeah, now she's like Mike Eagle will be playing and she's like, who's this again? And I'd be like, oh, it's Open Mike Eagle. She's like, yeah, I like this song. You know, or she likes the Kirby song.
Around.
Right,
yeah.
The Kirby song my from Aesop Rock. Too. It's real catchy. But like my son got into Ghostface Killah on his own suddenly.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
He was like streaming stuff on Spotify and he'll like put on just beats to do homework to. And it all started with hey, have you ever heard of Madlib? And I'm like, yes, of course I've heard of Madlib. This is the day I've been waiting for. Like, let's
when your son
Mad
comes
Lib.
To you to talk about that.
Yeah. Right.
It's a time to have that talk, son.
Yeah. And so it started off on like Madlib and then Ninth Wonder. And I'm like, yeah, you know, those are really good. You should check out this. And
you
then
check out Donuts, son.
Yeah. Then he comes out and he's like, have you ever heard of Wu-Tang Clan? Like, their first album is amazing. I'm like, I know.
Did you cry a little bit inside? I would have like high-fived him. Oh God.
I told my wife, I'm like, it's finally happened. It's all paid sweet. Off. Just the gentle nudging of the hip hop through the years. So he went and bought his first vinyl purchase ever was Ghost and Adrian Young. Ooh, that 36 Seasons.
12 Ways to Die?
Oh, 12 Ways, yeah. No, 12, yeah. 12 Ways to Die, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Nice. Yeah, that was his what first one. Then he was like, what is part two like? Triumph, I mean, part two is really good. So he went and bought part two.
And then he was like, Adrian Young's pretty cool. Oh, God. That dude's amazing.
Yeah, he likes Adrian. So he likes the Ghostface stuff. And then he likes the Ghost and Bad Bad Not Good a lot. So he's in the Ghostface. He likes the Wu-Tang. He just got into Aesop after I like beat him to death with the Impossible Kid album.
Oh, that album is fantastic.
Oh, you should show him that that the Wu-Tang Does the Underground. What was
Oh,
that?
The Think Differently. Yeah, I'll probably do that.
That's
don't show him the second one.
Well, he got into actually. He liked the Aesop because I played Hail Mary Malin, the Bestie area a lot at the house, and he's like,
"This
is really cool."
Favorite Aesop lyric.
Yeah, and he's like, "This is really cool. Who is this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's Hail Mary Malin, which is Aesop and Rob Sonic." And he's like, "Oh, I like this. Can you give me this?" And I was like, "Sure." And then the Aesop, he's like, "I listened to you today. It was The Impossible Kid. That's such a good album."
Yeah, that album is so good. I was a big fan of that song, Coffee. I think that's my favorite Aesop Rock
That's a
song.
Good song. I like the Secret Coffee song, The Pigs.
Yeah.
That I never listened so deep. Good. I always advance the track for the back. 18.
Yeah, it goes, if you let it sit, it's this really dope anti-cop song from Aesop Rock. It's pretty awesome.
Well, there was something I wanted to try with you guys for the first time. That it's going to be a new segment that I wanted to try out called Mood Music. I'm going to give you guys three situations. I want you to tell me either the song or the artist you would play in that scenario. Mm. You guys down?
Love this.
I'm down.
So the first scenario, it's your first date with a girl. You're picking her up. What are you playing in the car when she gets into the car?
Oh, Belial.
Oh, okay. Is there a particular track?
Anything off of his first album, First Born Second. That entire album is a certified classic to me.
What's the vibe that you're going for with Belial in that scenario? What do you want her to hear when she gets in? Like, what do you want her to feel?
Relaxed.
Okay.
Absolutely relaxed. And then, like, maybe, you know, toying with the idea of we can get down later.
Right, right.
You know?
Plant the seed.
Planting the seed of like, I'm sensitive because, you know, you got the Soul Sister and Belial's really just trying to spit game and be smooth and romantic, but like, we could get busy too.
Right.
You know?
It's not off the table.
Right. This could be long term. This could be short term.
Yeah.
It could be whatever. Put some Belial on.
Bill, what about you? First date.
So.
Open her door.
Yeah.
What does she bump into? It doesn't have to be hip hop. It can be.
I got you. It's just, So I really have a soft spot for the genre freestyle, and like New Jack Swing, and I know a lot of people just can't even stand it. It's just too cheesy for some people.
This is how you know if the girl's for you.
No, exactly. This is what,
you put her through the ringer.
Tie-in, you know, because it's just like it's something I listen to a lot. It's something that and a lot of people like they have visceral, you know, like physical reactions to it. They either love it or hate it. So I just need to know right away because you're gonna hear a lot of fucking Pebbles. You're gonna hear a lot of Jody Watley.
I love it.
You're gonna hear. You may hear from some Stevie B. You're gonna hear some Ali Us. You're gonna hear some like corny like hip house.
But
that's how I get. That's where I find my zone.
You know? Love it or leave it, ladies.
There's a David Cross, the comedian. He has a joke about this garbage man. He saw like hitting on ladies from his garbage truck. And he like affects this character where it's like, you know, 100 ladies, 99 of them, you know, they pass. But that one lady likes to fuck on a pile of trash. And that's kind of like what you say, you know.
Exactly.
You gotta go through, you know. If they're not down with yourself, then they're not for you.
And I ask myself every time I listen to this stuff, it's just like, is this nostalgic New Jersey skating rink music? Am I just like time traveling every time, or do I really love this stuff?
But you're also giving
them. I do really love it.
You're also being sent. You know, you're showing them your true self.
Yeah,
you're being.
No, that's the idea. Vulnerable. It's just like if you can get down with this, like, you know, hey, even if the relationship doesn't work out, if you like this, you know, you want to smoke weed and drink some beers to like roller skating music, like let's do it.
And maybe roller skate.
Okay,
and maybe roller skate.
Second scenario: your own funeral.
Oh, I just said this the other day. My own funeral. Yeah.
This is the end by the Doors?
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. Man, my own funeral.
Portishead, Portishead.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's a very good choice.
Hopefully everyone's like smoking a cigarette and drinking like a martini or something.
Right.
They're very sad. Coffee. Yeah, that's great. I just introduced my children to Portishead. They weren't as into it as I thought they'd be.
No, there's some...
You got to get into the feels more.
Yeah.
There's some choice bands at my house that everybody in my family's like, this is... Why do you like this? Like,
and you're constantly like, play this at my fucking funeral.
Yeah. Right. This is... You might hate Bjork, but you're going to play Vespertine at my funeral, damn it.
Big up, Bjork.
Yeah, that's good funeral music.
Yeah, that is good funeral music. That's a hard one. I know recently, I've been an Animal Collective fan for a long time. And there's a song I think I told my wife I wanted to play it at my funeral. I forget what it had to do with. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one. Like, actually, like, I don't actually want Animal Collective at my funeral. I just said that.
I mean, you're dead. That's the thing. That's the sweet thing. Is who gives a fuck?
I don't know.
I'm actually curious,
I want to know what, like, my significant other would think. You know, like, what would she think I would want to hear? You know?
Mm-hmm.
My wife would put on old school hip hop.
Yeah.
If I died, my wife would just put on whatever Sirius Satellite backspin.
You'd be safe on, throwing Illmatic on. You'd be safe.
Yeah, I was just
putting Doomsday on.
Shimmy, just put Shimmy Shimmy off of Old Dirty Bastard.
Yeah,
Dad would
exactly.
Be proud.
There's some safe bets for sure. I would not be mad if that's what they played. You know?
True.
It's probably has to do with Nas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shadow boxing.
Yeah.
Third scenario. This is a little time travel. You're 15 years old. It's a sick day from high school.
Yeah.
So you're at home. You're not feeling great. 15 years old. What are you jamming?
Shit. The first record that popped in my head is "Do You Want More" from The Roots.
Oh,
that's good. Yeah.
Nice.
That's some.
That's a close record.
That's some heady sick music right there.
I love The Roots, man. When that album came out, I probably the two tapes I had in my backpack at that time. That I would just listen to nonstop was "Ready to Die" and "Do You Want More." 15. Those were just like epically created records. Like Black Thought is one of the nicest lyricists of all time, who just does not get enough credit. And Notorious Big,
very consistent,
Big.
Doesn't get enough credit, but I'm sure he gets a decent paycheck.
Oh, I bet he gets a thick Tonight Show paycheck right now.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
he can give two shits of where he rests on an MC list. I'm sure, because he's like, I'm getting NBC money right now.
All right, Bill. Price is Right's over. Your temperature is spiking back up.
Oh yeah.
15 years old.
15 years old, man. I'm probably listening to Siamese Dream.
Oh, nice. I saw the Smashing Pumpkins do their acoustic tour about a month ago.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was awesome.
So you saw Billy
that's
Corgan?
That's right. You never told us
about
that.
Yeah, Billy Corgan. James E. Howe wasn't there, but Jimmy Chamberlain was on drums.
Nice.
So, I would say the core was there.
All right.
I don't think... Does he play with James E. Howe again? I thought that was sort of...
They hate each other so much.
Yeah.
They all do, but...
Yeah, he's a hateable guy.
Heard Darcy's thinking about making her way back in.
So the alternative rock was part of your upbringing, too.
Yeah,
that's definitely...
Yeah, I grew up in the suburbs, man.
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy.
Did Billy Corgan have hair?
No, I grew up in the suburbs.
My first experience with non-hip hop that I willingly checked out was I moved from New York to San Jose and was trying to make friends, and so made friends with these skater kids, and they listened to like AC/DC and shit, and I was never exposed to
that. Was too much for me.
Yeah, like, from New York being deep into hip-hop and moving to San Jose,
right?
That's
and I grew up
big culture
in New
shock.
York in the early like 80s, like I'm Puerto Rican, my it was salsa music and like Billy Joel in my house, and Journey.
it's a pretty good mix.
Yeah, and so but nothing else other than that. And he gave me a White Snake cassette and was like, you should check this out, you really like this a lot. And I remember being like, fuck, okay, I'm gonna try it. I want to make friends. Like, no one's listening to hip hop that I can find here yet, and I like skateboarding, so fuck it.
Yeah,
I remember playing that, and I think I made it through the entire first song and a half, and I was like, "This is
the
fucking
entire first song."
Yeah, I was like, "This is fucking terrible." And then my mom came in and was like, "What the hell are
That's
you
like
listening
the worst
to?"
Era of rock. You got handed the worst era.
Yeah,
of rock.
Whitesnake.
You're listening to the best era of
so
anything.
That was,
in my opinion, and then you got given the worst era of rock.
That was my first experience, and I was like, no. And then my second experience was Nirvana.
That's a better.
Yeah, and so a friend that was like another skater kid, like he was like, dude, you got to listen to Nirvana. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, just take this one home and listen to it. And he gave me Bleach, so their first album, nice. Not even oh, yeah. Nevermind. And I remember hitting play on that and being like, this is fucking incredible. Yeah. Like, this was incredible. I couldn't even put my finger on it. Like, I didn't listen to grunge.
Era, that was the same kind of raw sort of energy that hip hop had.
I think right, there was,
I think it's back in the Northwest in that fashion. You know, I think that carousel swung back around.
It's just that, yeah, it was that
same energy.
Yeah, that just the fuel that made that. And that was like 90, 91, you know? Yeah. And so there was just, yeah, there was just this aggression to it. This, like, I've got nothing to lose in doing this. And definitely a lot of, you know, that early gangstar-y kind of feeling. Oh, yeah. Or just like, it was just, you know, Ice Cube, you know, Death Certificate, all of that era was, I was listening to Death Certificate and listening to Bleach at the same time, you know? So it was like,
yeah. I was in the same boat, man.
Yeah.
I loved Ice Cube solo stuff. It was so good.
And so that was,
I loved West Side Connection.
Oh man. There was a West Side Connection song on the radio the other day and WC's verse was on. And I was just like, you know, there's some old school gangster stuff that was like on the radio and some later Ice Cube shit that's just mediocre, but it's still enjoyable.
Yeah.
But God, nothing is worse than mediocre WC to me.
Just like, I love WC.
WC was just like, he was great when he was like WC in the Mad Circle. And then even earlier, kind of like West Side Connection, when they hadn't like kind of just really hit their stride yet. It was kind of like, this is an experiment. He was still kind of hard. And then
Bow Down, wasn't that West Side?
Yeah.
No,
that was their big
that
hit.
Didn't do it for you? Oh yeah. Man, I must have had like a greatest hits or something when I was like, I don't know, 14 years old. Yeah, or man, something
I
like
faintly
that.
Remember that song. I'm out of touch with a lot of West Coast shit.
Yeah, I was in LA at the time. That was just like,
which is shame on me. I've learned being out here. Been out here for like almost 9 years now.
My friend gave me the Predator. He had a cassette tape of the Predator, but it was the edited version.
Oh, that's funny.
And I learned it like word for word. And then when I heard the real versions, it was like, it hurt my ears.
Crushed you.
Like, he's saying all this different stuff and Check Yourself. This is like full different verses.
So yeah. That's the
The beat was different.
The first thing you hear is the best thing you hear.
I love listening to early 90s hip hop radio edits because then they just change the rap lyrics. You're like, what?
Yeah. Dude, they don't even bother. They're so good at like taking curses out of songs now. It'd be back in the day, you needed to record like a whole other like
clean version.
I love that. It's like watching the edited version of Die Hard on like, you know, on TBS.
That's awesome.
It's you know one version or you know the other.
They change, you know, you fucking shithead to hey, you dirty pissant, and you're like, what?
I remember watching a Cheech and Chong movie on Comedy Central back in the day, and they replaced all the weed with diamonds.
With diamonds?
And every time they'd be like, hey, where's that big bag of diamonds?
Or they do those creepy zoom ins. You know, because there was nudity in the scene.
Yeah.
And they zoom in this chick's face. It's just not cropped right. It's just like,
you got a pan scan where you would see the camera move artificially. Right.
There's struggle shots, struggle edits.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love, you ever listen to the Juicy version before 9/11 happened?
No.
When he's just like, I'm blowing up like you thought. No, the.
Blowing up, like,
paid, blow up
blowing
up like the World Trade, because that's like the 93 World Trade Center bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you listen to that song played on the radio now, they edit it out. And I think even remastered Biggie album, they reversed that section.
No
on
way,
Juicy,
dude.
Where he says blow up like the World Trade out of guilt.
What does he say instead? Like, trying to get paid, blow up like the
World Trade,
a bomb.
They don't put lyrics in there.
Yeah, they just reverse the World Trade part. And so it's like trying to get played, blow up like, you know, like, it's, it says World Trade. It happened.
It's not a threat.
It's not a bad word.
It's history now. We can't talk about history.
It's
now
a little bit wrong. Man.
It's like that Nicki Minaj verse where she says, yes, I do the cooking. Yes, I do the cleaning. Yes, I keep the na-na real sweet for your eating. And they blank out eating because those words together are dirty. But at first they were black. They were like,
she keeps the nana real sweet, though. That's fine.
Right. Yeah. Sweet.
Nothing sexual about a sweet nana.
I'm eating it, though.
Looking at it, flicking it.
We technically can't talk about you eating nana, no, regardless of sweetness.
Keep the nana on the radio.
But there's a song on there, Chris Brown and Omarion or some shit, where they talk about The radio edit is "Eat the Booty Like Groceries."
Oh yeah, Try to eat the booty like groceries.
Seriously, that song is played 700 times in my car mindlessly because sometimes I have to give in and put the radio on.
Yeah,
and it was my daughter's 11-year-old friend that was like, "Eat the booty like groceries."
I was gonna say, without even knowing that is a line kids will just like,
right. And
kill
for. I was like, "What did you just say?" And she goes, "It's the song. It says eat the booty like groceries." I'm like, "It does not say that." And then I listened to it. I'm like, holy shit, this song says eat the booty like groceries.
Yeah,
that's the safe edit.
And now whenever she gets in my car, she's like, I hope the booty like groceries song comes on. And I'm like, no, we're not ever listening to the radio.
Don't say
that
to your parents.
Yeah.
It's not coming in the car.
Let's listen to some music. Ralph, what else did you bring? Or Bill, whatever you guys got. We're down to play some jams. Anything else? I know you had a couple things, so want to get to your
list. I want to play, don't play anything before I leave, Elucid. He's an MC from New York. He is pretty fucking incredible in the same realm that Mike Eagle is incredible, but Mike Eagle is the White Album Beatles, Elucid's like Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. So it's like, real dark and heavy. And I was going to play Sun Still Shine as a song off of his album that just came out called Save Yourself.
My girl say this beat sound unfinished. I say, yeah, that's where my voice go. Drop it in the canyon, old flows left abandoned. My humble offering to the planet. Take root, seeded, and planted. Sometimes I don't even pretend to understand it. Still, I take heed, protect my magic that came in bandage. Request a chance to counteract the psychic damage. Repeated mantras, broken patterns, cryptic. Must be out his cotton picking mine. No, he's just ill, kid. We rappers hit the kill switch. And no, you couldn't fuck with me or who I build with. Real existence beyond consumption. Sacrifice comfort like where do we find the gumption? Sun still shine. Really got no reason to rhyme. Aside to even the odds, iron the wrinkles out of my mind. Nah, I don't grind. Operate in a space of abundant style and substance. Sun burnt under me since. See flight too pungent. Come on if you're coming. I had other plans but I was summoned. Been on my path cutting ass since the first time you niggas fronted. Won't be the last but I'm still laughing. True passion. Try not to ash on this white linen. Brown water swilling. Holding back feelings that get you 5 to 10. In the end, the devil wins. Till the victor goes to spoil you. Built by design to destroy you. Scatter bones to nourish future soil.
It's gonna be so much bass that you just all your organs rupture.
It has nothing to do with falling off the shelf.
No,
it just guts you with bass. Well, Ralph, I want to talk a little bit more about Damn That Noise. We talked a little bit about how you got that started and where you got the bug for writing. I'm curious, what if any are your ambitions for your writing and for your reviewing? What would you like to be doing with that? How do you see that progressing in the future?
It would be nice for it to be something I can semi make a little bit of money off of somehow in an online magazine at some point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm a little bit older, so I grew up buying like magazines and digging through them and having it be like a monthly. Ideally, I'd like it be like an online monthly magazine. So like once a month, like a big series of content just comes out, and so it's just stuff that's really dope, like how Herb magazine used to be and The Source when The Source was really awesome. Herb, I wasn't ever into like the deep house stuff, but I mean Herb was great for discovering new like underground hip-hop stuff.
Again, and Abilities was
I mean
early
they would
jocks,
do
I mean, all
that was like there. You know
cool Keith,
in my early 20s when I was 20 and rapping, like it would have been cool as fuck to be like the next 100 Herb people you should watch, you know, because it had like
then something.
Aesop Rock in there, you know what I mean? And Dose One, when I had never heard of them, you know, it was like, oh shit.
You could get a subscription to that magazine and you could choose for them to send you the techno sampler or the hip hop sampler.
Yep, yeah. I remember that.
Sure. Or a hat.
So it would ideally, I'd love to make it something where, you know, it's a like a monthly magazine kind of thing. Like as it is now, I try and make sure I can get, you know, 3 to 5 updates in a work week, you know, and I just do it, you know, Monday through Friday is kind of how I do it. Sometimes I don't do anything on Friday or sometimes I don't do anything on Monday, but that would ideally be awesome. And maybe even to do like a hip hop podcast version of it where kind of Yo MTV Rapsy, just playing like a lot of the stuff that I curate on the site.
Yeah.
So kind of doing like a, you know, a bi-weekly thing where it's just like I'm playing a lot of that new stuff, interviewing some of the artists that are featured on the site. So as opposed to doing the written email interviews, doing it like via Skype, you know what I mean? And recording the audio of the interview of it and featuring the interviews that way.
Well, I mean, that's sort of how our show started. We just, Andy is a big curator of music and we just got together, started talking about the stuff that he was playing anyway. And I feel like that is something that's a little bit underserved in Portland with all the music that's happening here. There aren't a lot of podcasts that really dig into it. Not just in the Portland scene, but you know, across the country. So I would be a big fan of that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's the idea. And it's, you know, in starting it too and being based in Portland, there was a big part of me that was like, I need to make sure I feature Portland artists. But then at the same time, I just kind of feature whatever's dope and Portland artists make it in there because there's some dope people. You know what I mean? Theory Has It is super dope. I love Theory Has It. Mike Capes is really dope. And I've put Mike Capes videos on there, you know, IME, or We'll See, whatever he wants to, you know, whatever Ryan's going by right now. You know, definitely support his stuff a whole lot. And Lucas Dix, you know, his various projects and name changes from Jellyfish and Hives Inquiry Squad and all that. So that's definitely try and make sure I can pull from the Pacific Northwest.
As your kind of your magazine idea evolves, we've talked about kind of featuring interviews and obviously the reviews that you're known for now. What other kinds of content are you interested in promoting or creating as part of that kind of project?
I'm a big movie person. I'd love to at some point do like, yo, I watch this, and just kind of like a movie review.
Yeah.
You know, for lack of a better term. Cause I love movies. And even if it's like reviewing old movies, like going back and like, yeah, I never watched Benny and June and I watched it and this is what I thought. It was fucking terrible. You know, whatever, you know, whatever your 2 cents are on it. You know what I mean? That would, my son's super into video games. And at some point we've talked about having him do like video game reviews.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Cause he's really into video games.
Every kid wants to be a YouTube star now.
Yeah, not even a that's YouTube, huge. Just more like having him type out reviews of
stuff. That's even better. That's awesome.
Yeah, because he watches, he does everything. He's into video games the way I was into hip hop. You know, like he's watching people play the game. He's reading the breakdowns. He's reading the bullshit about the games. He's reading about the game companies. You know, it's just a different nerd out, but I respect the grind. Yeah. And marijuana. I have a friend who's a grower locally, and it would be awesome to do like strains of the month. You know, I kind of, when I can figure out how to, I'm the only one writing on the website right now. So it's kind of like all these ideas, and I'd love to have additional writing help at some point. Just because I work a full-time job, it'd be difficult to kind of cram all these things into working a full-time job and being a full-time dad and husband and, you know, trying to do other things. But ideally this would be nice at some point to have this all come to fruition.
Absolutely. I think it's a fantastic idea. I would be a huge fan of that. Already read your stuff and big fan of that. Thanks. Do you have a good sense in your mind of who your ideal audience is? I mean, when you're thinking about building out kind of a content-based platform, do you ever think to yourself, this is the kind of person who's consuming what I'm putting out there? Is there someone that you're targeting? And I'm really just curious about how you conceive of that potential audience.
That's an interesting... I like to think the people that read the website now are in their early 20s and then in my age range in their late 30s, you know? And primarily, I mean, just
because... Turns out they're all 14-year-old girls.
Yeah, you're right.
They have really good music taste, though.
You know, like the early 20s kids, I don't know, I think are pretty open to everything. And so I think they're going to be, you know, as into Open Mike Eagle and you know, as Aesop Rock as they are to, you know, Milo and whatever, you know, those young, you know, Thug and the
Travis Scott,
yeah, that kind of shit. Like, I think they'll be into all that. I mean, because if you, like, I love MF Doom.
Yeah,
MF Doom is my shit. You know, but if you listen to like the Odd Future Kids, like they came up listening to Mad Villainy and Operation Doomsday, and it's like, I would have never guessed that, because they also came up listening to, you know, the fucking Master P and you know, Fabulous and Young Jock.
We were talking about that
and
stuff when Cloudy and Mass Terror were on.
Yeah.
They're big fans of that era.
Right. And like, I'm 38, almost 39 years old. Like, I remember vividly when that all came out. And
that was the era,
like,
that I disliked hip hop for a long time.
Oh, I hated it.
Right. I remember that was when I was like Uber Backpacker. Like, I'm listening to nothing but Fondalum Recordings releases and Raucous Ooh, Records. Nice. And
I think we'll like listen to like Jurassic yeah. 5 at that time.
Right, I'm listening to that. Yeah. I'm at the Good Life. I'm at Project Bloat, and I'm trying to, you know, really just tap into like the early Living Legend shit. And I couldn't.
You can go deep on Living Legends too. That's a catalog.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't fuck with that masterpiece stuff whatsoever. And it's just not. And I think it was different because I love like Mobb Deep. I mean, not saying that talent-wise Master P is as good as Prodigy or Havoc, but it's still that inner city struggle. You know what I mean? It's just like, I just couldn't relate to the New Orleans thing. And maybe it's because I grew up in New York until I was 12, like in the Bronx, and then in the Bay Area afterwards. So it's like, I could totally relate to like the Mobb Deep stuff. And I can also totally relate to the E-40 stuff, yeah. You know, but the Master P, the South, the Candyman, the slang, I was just like, nah, I can't.
They're
fuck
ridiculous
with it.
Like CGI computer.
Yeah.
Generated covers.
But at the same time, I was also, I loved 8-Ball and MJG.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis, totally different, you know, but they were like actually really dope. And I think that was what was the difference to me, is like Ghetto Boys, you listen to a Ghetto Boys interview now, and they were like listening to like Run DMC and Grandmaster yeah. Flash. Like, they knew the like history of and the culture and had that appreciation, and you can tell in how they did shit. You know, same with 8-Ball and MJG, you can tell they had an appreciation for like hip hop as a culture, whereas like Master P, I just felt like it was like they liked hip hop, but it was more like a, but I think I can get rich off of this.
Yeah, there's right. definitely part of that.
There was like a business mentality and angle.
Just making money.
Like,
that's just making right. money.
My problem with Master Empire. P was like the tracks. There'd be like, he put out like a CD a week for a while there. It was insane.
Yeah.
And there would be like, this song's called Bad Bitches. And the whole song would be like, bad bitches, bad bitches, bad bitches, with like a really heavy bass beat. Right. It's like, this is, you're just using this to make your system sound good. You're not right. like enjoying this song right now.
Well, that reminds me of like a DJ Magic Mike. Do you remember that dude used to just do the bass tapes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it was shit. Just like, it was just nonsensical. Like, if there were words to it, it was all about just like, what different octaves can you hit for your bass?
Perfect for your 97 Eclipse.
Right. You know? My uncle's mini truck. His Toyota lowered mini truck with a 12-inch.
There used to be those, yeah, there's carts in the mall that would just sell like the New York mix bass. Would just say
Are
bass.
You talking about the spinning racks of tapes? I used to get tapes off of the,
those too. Like, yeah. Yeah, this was like, they were just like these. They had these carts, these like little kiosks in like the mall, and they would just be all like bass. It was like they were just filled with like, they look like burnt CDs.
Oh, like that's print, what you're talking
with
about.
Printed out little JPEG square covers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they would that's just amazing. Be slipped in a thing, and be like, yeah, like they would just have like a DJ so and so bass mix.
Miami
Club
bass.
Mix. Okay. Yeah, Miami bass. It would be like a region, bass really big. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had one of those CDs.
My friend's sister used to get those. Yeah.
But like what I would do, I had my speakers, I had my bed on the floor, I had my mattress on the floor, and I had speakers on either side of my head, and I would just blast these bass CDs and just feel the bass travel through my head.
That's pretty
I
cool.
thought it was really cool, but it wasn't good.
No.
Bad for your ears.
No, yeah, just like it wasn't quality bass. I wish I would have gotten a better bass tape. I think what you had was better.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ralph, I do want to play some more music. We got time for one more track that you brought. What's something you want to leave us with here tonight?
Just a household classic of anything Mike Eagle goes, but this is from the Hella Personal Film Festival.
Great album.
And it's the Smiling Quirky Race Doc.
Yep.
Which is probably one of my favorite songs on there.
It's all fine and dandy when the show starts. Before then, avoid it like a ghost fart. I guess what ups and nots, but for the most part, nobody smiles at me cause I'm a black man. Until the show starts. Before then, avoid it like a ghost fart. I guess what ups and nots, but for the most part, nobody smiles at me cause I'm a black man.
I know full well every white's not a racist, but every black man's not a sex-crazed rapist. I was good in the hood. In college I was ruined. When walking I assumed you acknowledged the other humans. I try to walk big with my chin bone lifted up, overcompensating like I really don't give a fuck. Today I saw a lady say hi to a stranger, then avoid my eyes like I'm a white person strangler. Walking past voters in the Democratic blocks that hit the windows and the automatic locks. If not reparations, give me free black therapy and tell people you're scared of them. It makes them act scarily. I don't want you, your person or your pocketbook, them dumb yoga pants, boots of fur with the octopus. Trust, I'm not trying to polish your toes, take your wallet and phone or follow you home.
It's all fine and dandy when the show starts. Before then, avoid it like a ghost fart. I get what ups and nots, but for the most part, nobody smiles at me cause I'm a black man. Until the show starts. Before then, avoid it like a ghost fart. I get what ups and nots, but for the most part, nobody smiles at me cause I'm a black man.
And to the guys in the flip-flop squad, nobody needs your patronizing hip-hop nod. Just be a person. That's the bottom line, be a person. And fuck the rhyme scheme this time, just be a person. Then I can be a person too and we can be people. Skip the validation and the need to feel equal. The dominated culture gets to choose from many modes of expression and reflection of the path that they done chose. And my perception is froze like a caveman lawyer advocating for myself while trying to seem dumber than I is. I'm tired of thinking about this biz. I'm just trying to build a bridge for my goddamn kid. So the first time if ever his reputation slid, it could actually be for something that he did.
Fine and dandy when the show starts. Before then, avoid it like a ghost fart. I get what ups and nots, but for the most part, nobody smiles at me cause I'm a black man. Until the show starts. Before then, avoid it like a ghost fart. I get what ups and nots, but for the most part, nobody smiles at me cause I'm a black man.
100 police wanna sing one song, but only one gets the key. When 100 police wanna sing one song, somebody's gotta intervene. Now I'm not running for Congress, I got no platform or a plan. But when 100 police wanna sing one song, all the people stop giving a damn.
Yeah, that's an excellent record, the new Open Mic Eagle. Yes. Everyone should definitely check that out. Ralph, we're running out of time, unfortunately, because I think we could talk to you guys for like 3 more hours about this. Has been fantastic, but I want to give you your hip hop career a little breathing room. We didn't hear about how you got started. What was your rap persona, and what was your rapping career like?
First,
in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, I started off by inserting my name Ralph into EPMD raps.
That's how that's so fun.
First started was just like trying to mimic EPMD. And then my first rap name was Relentless. And that was, I had the luckiness of having that stick for a really long period of time. And yeah, I was Relentless.
That's got some legs.
Yeah.
You know, that can age with you.
Yeah. I was Relentless until I was, I think 30, like in my early 30s, and then it switched to Blood Money.
Blood Money. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, EPMD. EPMD was the young Ralph wanted to be Eric and Parrish making dollars pretty badly.
How'd you feel about EPMD when Redman came into the picture?
I loved it even more. Redman is a fucking genius.
I love Redman, and I loved EPMD. When they got together, that was like my super group.
Yeah.
I'm such a big Redman fan, obviously, being from Jersey.
That's true.
People from Jersey just love and know everything about Jersey.
Redman's episode of Cribs?
And it makes me feel so amazing. That's such a classic piece of just American cinema.
Yeah.
One of my favorite EPMD songs is Rampage with LL and Redman and EPMD.
That's
a good one, yeah. That's definitely
I like all the Redman shit.
What is the future of this rap collaboration?
What money?
Yeah.
What money?
What
yeah.
money?
Is what money?
That's the working title right now.
Working title's What Money?
Yeah, he goes by Billy What and Billy Blood what? Money, and so we thought What Money was... Billy came up with that one, actually, Bill. I have a show the 26th of May, and it's for the record release party for Lucas Dix and Brass Clouds project, My How Time Flies 2. Outside of Lucas, who raps very well, I will be the only one rapping at the show. Everybody else is folk bands, I think. Bill's
in it. You're gonna crush it, though.
Yeah.
You're gonna steal the stage.
We're opening. We're starting off with the weirdo rap, and then it'll progress into the very Portlandy, awesome Fruition. I think is playing, or not Fruition, but
I love Fruition.
A couple of, I think one of the guys from Fruition is playing, but that record release show is going to be at the Goodfoot on the 26th.
26th of May at the Goodfoot. It's a great place to see a show.
I've never been there.
Diverse bill. It's a cool venue. Cool. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and good to see you out there grabbing the mic again.
Yeah, awesome. I'm doing some old raps. We'll be doing some freestyling, I think, because we've talked about freestyling a couple.
It's quite a passion.
Yeah, I enjoy the freestyles.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, if you guys, I'm waiting. I know it's going to happen. I want this collaboration right here to spring forth. So keep us posted on how that goes. We'll let everybody know in the next couple of weeks about the show on the 26th. Everyone should go check you guys out. You can also find all of Ralph's work on DamnThatNoise.com. It's a great resource for just banging hip hop and great writing, good insight, and great suggestions. So,
thanks, man.
Bill, Ralph, thank you guys so much for being a Hot Garbage this week. Cheers. Really appreciate you coming out. And
thanks for having us.
Music.
Thanks
anytime.
to Cloudy October for making this happen inadvertently.
We'll get the whole crew in here sometime. We're going to get you guys with Cloudy. I'll turn my microphone off and let you guys just run the show.
That would be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, that'd be a good episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks again. We really appreciate you guys being here. And appreciate you guys listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. You can download all of our episodes through iTunes, through Stitcher, through Buzzsprout, basically anywhere you would want to download podcasts. We put out a new episode every Thursday. And if you like what you hear, we encourage you to tell your friends and leave us some comments. It's important to us, and we appreciate you listening. You can also reach out to Andy and I directly at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail.com.
Or check out the Instagram at Hurt Garbage, just like it sounds.
I'm going to spell it this week because I actually just learned how it's spelled. It's H-E-R-T-G-E-R-B-I-S-H. Hurt Garbage. Exactly like Andy's been saying it.
Yeah, I haven't been just making
He's
a weird noise.
He's been saying it phonetically, everybody. But we appreciate you all listening. We appreciate you voting for us at WillametteWeek.com for Portland's best podcast. You can do that through the end of the month, and we would love it if you did. Andy, take us home with some jams.
We've been playing all this intellectual thinking, like smart conceptual rap. I'm going to play something dumb.
Good.
This is Young Yachty. He's out of Atlanta. He's 18 years old. I think it's fair to say he's young, dumb, and full of cum.
Excellent.
Oh, God. I can't wait to hear this.
This is What's a track off of his album, Captain Boat. This song's called Broccoli, featuring Dram.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a big fan of Dram.
Ain't no telling what I'm feeling. Beyond, hey, hey, I'm beyond all that fuck shit. Hey,
little mama, would you like to be my sunshine? Nigga, touch my game, we gon' turn this shit to Columbine. Ice on my neck, cost me 10 times 3. $30,000 for a nigga to get free. I just hit Rodeo and I spent like 10 G's. I just did a show and spent a check on my mama. When I go and vacay, I might run out the Bahamas. And I keep like 10 phones, damn, I'm really never home. All these niggas clones tryna copy what I'm on. Nigga, get your own, tryna pick a nigga bone. Worked to brother Skip, boy, I had a good day.
Metro PCS, trapping ball, making plays. 50 shades of gray, beat that pussy like Hulk Hogan. I know you know my slogan, if it ain't about guap, I'm gone. Niggas hating cause I'm chosen from the concrete I had rolled. Shorty staring at my necklace cause my diamonds really froze. Put that dick up in her pussy, bet she feel it in her toes. I'm a real young nigga from the six throwing balls. I'm a real young nigga from the six throwing balls. Real young nigga from the six throwing balls.
In the middle of the party, bitch, get off me.
Goddamn.
In the cut, I'm rolling up my broccoli.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I know your baby mama fond of me.
Goddamn.
All she wanna do is smoke that broccoli.
Goddamn.
Whispered in my ear, she tryna leave with me.
Goddamn.
Say that I can get that pussy easily.
Goddamn.
Say that I can hit that shit so greasily.
Goddamn.
I'm a dirty dog, I did it sleazily.
Hey.
Hey, no telling. What I'm finna beyond, hey, hey, I'm beyond all that fuck shit, hey, hey, no telling what I'm finna, hey, beyond, hey, hey, said I'm beyond, hey, all that fuck shit, hey.
Companies and pesos, I got people on my payroll. She don't do it unless I say so. I don't smoke if it ain't fuego. I should sauce them up like Prego Fettuccine with Alfredo. All I wanted was the fame in every game they made on Sega. I was 5 or 6 years old when I had told myself, okay, you're special, but I treat you like my equal, never lesser. I was 26 years old when we had dropped this one amazing record. Had the world stepping, that's what I call epic.
Couple summers later, I got paper. I acquired taste for salmon on a bagel with the capers on a square plate. At the restaurant with the why you got a stare face. To know I either ball or I record over the stand bass.
Rapper face, dread headed, golden diamond teeth wearing. They just mad cause I got that cheese, bitch, I keep dairy. Turned up in the party, getting lit the yachty. With a Spanish Barbie, word to my mommy.
In the middle of the party, bitch, get off me.
Off me.
In the cut, I'm rolling up my broccoli. Yeah, I know your baby mama fond of me.
She fond of me.
All she wanna do is smoke that broccoli.
That weed, that weed.
Whispered in my ear, she tryna leave with me.
She wanna fuck.
Say that I can get that pussy easily.
I'm gonna fuck.
Say that I can hit that shit so greasily.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm a dirty dog, I did it sleazily.
Yeah.